Hey guys, before we get into the episode, you all know I'm a huge fan of fashion, and I have been ever since I was a little girl. And my first job, by the way, was actually at Macy's. And my love for fashion began when I started there because I worked in the fragrance department, but of course, my eye was always on the clothes and the makeup and everything related to style. But here's the thing, my relationship with Macy's didn't end once my days of asking people walking by if they wanted to sample the latest scents came to an end. Nearly 20 years later, I still find myself choosing Macy's time and time again for literally everything. It's become a really beautiful full circle moment that they've been such amazing supporters of our show for so long. And when it comes to shopping, they have everything you need. Whether I need a last minute outfit or Kevin needs a last minute outfit for our friend's wedding, we always head to Macy's. They've got us covered. So if you're in need of some retail therapy, perhaps, or looking to spruce up your home or your lifestyle, check out Macy's, friends. I've curated a list of some of my favorite items that have helped me upgrade so many parts of my life, really my fashion the most, but of course, home and baby and so much more. So check the link in the description and happy shopping, Heal Squad.
I like to say that hair is a woman's best accessory, and thanks to my friends at Way, they make it possible to have good hair days every day. Let me tell you, Way's hair oil has become a game changer in my hair care routine. So if you're ready to have good hair days every single day, you got to check out Way. Head over to the Way, theouai.com to check out their products. And here's a little treat for you guys. Use the promo code Heal Squad for 15% off your purchase. Yep, the Way, theouai.com, promo code Heal Squad for 15% off.
Hey, Heal Squad, please enjoy this pre-taped episode with the amazing Dr. Caroline Leaf. Coming up on today's Better Together.
Thoughts don't own you. No thought owns you. You own your thoughts because you've made them.
Ugh. We all need to hear that because I don't feel that way, but I know.
No, you don't. You don't, because that's why we have to look at the neuroscience behind it, because this thing will feel like it owns you, this toxic thing. But now you know, okay, it doesn't own me. I feel like it does, but it doesn't own me, because that is a product of an experience. I can go change that product or that experience. That's the ultimate message that I'm trying to bring through. And that gives people that sense of peace and freedom. And it's hard work. I'm not saying it's easy. I mean, it's like I talk about that.
It is, but it's better than sitting in the pain.
I'm on a journey to get better in all areas of life, from wellness and mental health to career and relationships and so much more. I know getting better isn't easy, but it's a whole lot easier when you can do it together. Welcome to Better Together with me, Maria Menounos.
Hello, Better Together fans. Kevin Undergaro here, substituting for Maria Menounos. So I'll go back and say, it's Mr. Maria Menounos subbing in for my beautiful and talented wife. I'm Better Together with Maria Menounos. And this is part two of our amazing interview with Dr. Caroline Leaf. Her book, Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess, simple, scientifically proven steps to reduce anxiety, stress, and toxic thinking. Guys, I have always been a believer that what is going on in the brain triggers our emotions, which triggers disease. And she says aging, and I agree with her. I mean, she's a professional. I'm not. I'm a regular guy. But I'm just saying that if there are ways that we can retrain our minds, you know, why wouldn't we to not be in states of fear or toxicity or pain or shame or guilt? If we can retrain that, you know, why wouldn't we? And then all the positive results ensue. So I'm super excited to get into part two of this interview. When we're done, we'll have our closing thoughts, but stay tuned. This works for detoxing trauma as well.
What I've described is detoxing trauma. Totally. This is a trauma program. This system can be used for the depression example we've used, and it can be used for that big trauma. So here now, let's say that you are in your third or fourth relationship, and it keeps breaking down for the same reason, and it's making you super depressed, and it's like affecting kind of everything and flowing over into all different parts of your life and relationships and whatever. And now that is a signal for you to sit down and work out what's going on, because if that's a pattern, it's generally related to some kind of trauma. Every human experiences trauma to varying different degrees. We've all experienced trauma now over COVID. We all have to process that trauma. So trauma has so many different levels. Trauma is part of life and we have to manage it. So this is a phenomenal tool for detoxing trauma. There's a whole chapter in the book where I talk about managing big T trauma, small T trauma, and acute trauma. The in the moment stuff that you can, that, you know, how do you manage like a car crash, a sickness, the death of a loved one, a massive financial crisis in your life. You know, those things you just don't expect. To the recognizing that what I described, that pattern of constant broken relationships, which is obviously coming maybe as you recognize that's the signal, you start doing the work over the 21 days and then the extra 42, you start seeing, oh, okay,
yeah,
the reason is the trauma, yes, of abuse from childhood.
So what started with depression, right? We keep digging
that's
and digging.
That's the signal. Dig through the five
and
steps.
And then we
the
find out it's a trauma from childhood.
You find out the source. You find out the trauma from childhood.
Gotcha.
And all the trauma from maybe being bullied or whatever. You know, whatever
right.
we do, whatever, think of it like this. Whatever you do that is having a negative impact on your life and it's pattern, that's generally trauma-based. It's coming from some trauma at some point in your life. Early childhood, middle childhood, late childhood, teenagerhood, early, whatever. It could have been last week. A trauma that you, so you get established traumas that are old that get suppressed, because especially a child, what we see is often all of us have got stuff,
yes,
and some more extreme than others, that we experience as young children that we didn't have the language and the capability to, or intellectual ability to deal with it. So there's the abuse of a two-year-old, there's the manifestation of total confusion. Adults are supposed to care for you and now they've hurt you. And that now is, you don't know how you, that's the response that you develop to cope, but you don't know how to process that. So you shove that down. So now these are volcanic in nature. You can't, these don't go anywhere. They just manifest. If you don't deal with them, they explode out. So this child then starts showing behavioral symptoms, increased aggression, and maybe biting siblings, or anger, or educational issues, or whatever. And then the child grows up and certain things happen and this is still here. And then maybe something happens that adds to this, another trauma that gets associated with this, and this gets so big. And then suddenly late teens, early 20s, whatever, maybe even later 30s, or you're in a relationship or you have a baby or something like that, a major life event, boom, you fall apart. This thing has now totally, it's got to the point where it cannot stay suppressed anymore. And then that's like a really life, that you crash. And then when you do the trauma work, you see, okay, and you track it back to, you know, there's a bunch. And it's never just one. And also, it's not just going to take one 63-day cycle. The older the trauma, the more established the trauma, the bigger the trauma, the more complex the trauma, and the more interrelated the trauma, the more cycles you're going to need. And that's why, for example, sexual trauma that people go through is often years of healing. But what's so important, I found from my experience of helping people with sexual trauma, is to help them understand that it is going to take time, but do not have this vacuous time thing. People hate being told that.
Yes.
So I tell people this, there is time, but it's not this vacuous time. There's cycles. You can track yourself over these cycles of 63 days because certain things are happening at each point. And that's what I've laid out in the book to help people to
get
track.
Yeah, you'll get better and better. You know,
so you'll get better and better.
Yeah,
and the evidence is there. But to tell someone who's in the midst of trauma and who has a relapse, for example, which happens, it gets worse before it gets better, then you get better, and then you progress, and then you discover more stuff, and you go backwards, and it is the nature. But to have a vacuous, oh, this is going to get better, doesn't help. But just say, okay, this is where you're at. You're at this stage. You're on day 42 of the second cycle. This is what you've achieved. Look at your neurocycle journal. This is what you've, because you can track it all. That gives people empowerment. And I talk a lot in my book about the pathway to empowerment, where you can become independent, have that agency, which is where we started the discussion, to be able to look at that toxic, those depression and anxiety, not as illnesses, but as warning signals, so that you have this courage to look at those, face the toxic trauma, and see that as something that you can control. We hate feeling out of control.
Yeah.
And when thoughts that are lies are dominating us, we feel like we've got no control. So my message is, whatever thought is dominating you that's making you feel uncomfortable, what are the signals? Dominate it. Are you finding the signals? You pull it up. And now you dominate it.
Yeah.
You now control it. And that's the shift that's occurred.
I think what might help people is that it doesn't seem like you have to be perfect at this process. I think just the fact that
no,
you are putting the time in, You're shifting.
When you're on the go 24/7 like me, guys, finding ways to make life easier is so important for my health and sanity. And that's exactly what my friends at Macy's do for me. From working there as a teenager to now going to them for so many of my daily essentials, it's been my go-to for so many years. And having everything in one place is such a time saver for me. With being a first-time mom for a while now, as you know, I've had plenty of those, and being able to rely on them for all the things has been amazing. Plus, having everything in one place has made being a new mom just a little bit easier for me. So I know we're all focusing on our families, our health, hopefully, our jobs, and everything in between, but it's time to make your life a little easier. And to help you out, I've curated all of my essentials from Macy's for you and the whole fam. All the details are in the show notes below, or you can just click the link in the description to get your hands on them too. I have some new picks on there. This little bomber jacket, this little black dress. You're gonna love it.
Your brain into something constructive and positive, rather than your brain controlling you and just sitting in your depression or your anxiety or your fear or your shame. And I feel like that just in and of itself is going to be incremental healing.
Oh, absolutely. The five steps is really easy to apply. Once you see the examples in the book and you've done it a few times or you use the app, it's really easy to do them. And you've captured that so beautifully. Once, it's not that you have to be perfect. You'll get a hang of them. And it's different for every experience you have. The whole thing is that you're in control. You're on a pathway to empowerment. You're going to be empowered to look at that obstacle not as a barrier, but as something that you can overcome. It shifts from a barrier into a challenge that you can overcome, and you've got agency. Thoughts don't own you. No thought owns you. You own your thoughts because you've made them.
We all need to hear that because I don't feel that way. But I know.
No, you don't. You don't, because that's why we have to look at the neuroscience behind it. Because this thing will feel like it owns you. This toxic thing. But now you know, okay, it doesn't own me. I feel like it does, but it doesn't own me, because that is a product of an experience. I can go change that product or that experience. That's the ultimate message that I'm trying to bring through. And that gives people that sense of peace and freedom. And it's hard work. I'm not saying it's easy. I mean, it's like I talk about that.
It is, but it's better than sitting in the pain.
Exactly.
It's
better than sitting in the pain. In fact, I put case studies in the book, and one of the case studies we had, I write it in there, and I had this with my patients over the years and emails back from millions of people that now, you know, use the systems, is that people in the particular case study in this book, one of the subjects at the beginning of the study, at the beginning of the 6-month study in cycles of 63 days, they said, "I am depression." It was their identity. All they told was everything they couldn't do, everything that was wrong.
I am depression. I am shame. Exactly. Okay.
So then by 21 days, they were saying, "I am not depression. I am depressed because there's a reason." By 63 days, they said, "I'm depressed because of, and I'm not scared of depression. I now know what it means and I now know what to do about it." And behavior change occurred. They were sleeping in, back at work, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a shift that will occur over time. So when you're in the midst of the day one, two, the beginning cycle, it feels like it's never going to change. And that's where I'm trying to tell people, hey, it is changing. Here's the scientific evidence. If you don't feel like it's changing, go look at the pictures in the book. That's what's happening in your brain. Read the stuff. You don't feel like it, but that's because the thoughts are still lying to you. The emotions of this thing are still so overwhelming. But over time, these toxic emotions that are so dominating become weakened and turned into controlling. So the emotions change.
And Dr. Leaf, before you go, can I just rapid fire some of the quick life hacks that were in the book? Just a brief explanation on each one. The 30 to 90 second rule of the regret zone.
Okay, so good. So when something happens on the spot, like someone shouts at you or something, you get an emotional high situation, if something happens, that's coming in through your mind, is processing it. So it creates chaos in the gravitational fields, goes into your brain, creates chaos in the brain. So your brain is in a high state of neurochemical chaos, and therefore so is your body. All the inflammation, blah, 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 and it's a rush. And that can make you feel like flight and fright, freeze, run away, say the wrong thing, get mad, whatever. So what you want to do is in that situation is to recognize the signals, train yourself to, and I describe it in the book, and then do a 10-second pause 6 times. So what that means is you breathe in for 3 counts, you breathe out for 7. But the breathing is kind of like the yoga breathing, because you breathe in I'm inhaling, and then you breathe out, force it out. You almost feel like you're getting a kind of a headache. And in, and you count for 7 seconds. That in and out, for three in, for three out, for seven is 10 seconds. That's the 10 second pause. And you can do that 10 second pause as many times as you want to get yourself to a state where you feel calmed down, where you can self-regulate to a point. And at that time is the point at which, until you feel that, until you feel, you're still worked up, but until you feel that you can actually control your reactions, don't speak, just do the breathing. And then you can add a cognitive factor to that, which makes it even more powerful. And that just means that when you inhale, say out loud or in your head, whatever, think, feel. So on the inhalation, it's think, feel for three counts. And then on the exhalation, it's choose. So because you add three words, think, feel on the inhalation, choose on the exhalation for 7 seconds, you've brought together a breathing exercise, a cognitive exercise, and that creates a tremendous balance in your brain, which then drops the neurophysiological response.
And you're saying that to yourself, think, feel, and then choose?
Think, feel, choose. Think, feel, choose. It's very calming as well. It's a way of regulating. And you can co-regulate like this. So if you're with someone who's in a panicky state and they're reacting in a panic attack, you can say, okay, do this with me. Think, feel, choose. Think, feel, choose.
And what we're choosing is, we're choosing not to be upset. Is that
exactly? You're pretty much choosing to get control.
Choosing to take control.
So you're thinking, feeling, because that's your mind. So you're basically adding what the mind is. Think, feel, choose. This gravitational field. It's this how we. It's the think, feel, choose is the mechanism by which we translate life into our brain and our body. So that's you're using that mechanism in a very cognitive way.
And then what about the rewinding technique?
So that's a really great technique. So let's say now that you're in like the recheck phase, because that's the one that you found the most challenging. Rewinding is a great exercise to do in the recheck phase, because you now have got all this information in front of you. And so now you can actually, you've got almost like a visual image. So now imagine that you're in a movie, and this whole thing that you've just written on your page, and have gone through the four steps, and you've got all this information. Now you want to look at this like it's a whole movie. And then you can stop at certain points and say, okay, that person is yelling at me there. Let me rewind it. Let me have a look at this differently. So you're in your mind, you're playing this kind of visual game. And our mind is so good at this. Our mind is designed to create scenarios and narratives and use the brain for us to see it visually inside our mind's eye. And that actually is building networks in your brain. So you're building resilience networks in your brain, and you're kind of operating from those. You can kind of do that when you dream at night as well. You can actually prepare yourself for sleep in the same way. So rewinding enables you to reconceptualize. That's a great technique for step four.
Gotcha. Okay. And then the suit of armor technique.
So that's really great when you're in a toxic environment with toxic people and it throws you. Imagine that your body, okay, so we've got these gravitational fields. Now, I can't take yours, you can't take mine. But every time I speak, I'm speaking from a thought. You don't speak randomly. Everything I'm saying to you now is coming from knowledge I have in my brain. If you don't have the knowledge, you can't speak about it. That's the logical thing. So a thought is this knowledge, whether it's healthy or toxic. So I'm able to speak about these concepts because I have built these thoughts into my brain. And I can teach the stuff. So as I'm speaking to you, I'm generating photons, which is Einstein's work. These are alive and living. As I'm speaking, I'm sending out electromagnetic light waves to you. Because we are in a good, healthy discussion, and there's reciprocity, and there's good vibes, etc., going on between us. There's a healthy conversation back and forth. You're operating in a wise mind. The photons that you're receiving is a great bonding happening. There's a connection. You don't feel uncomfortable. I don't feel uncomfortable. I hope you don't. But now if someone's screaming at you, they are sending, and they're saying toxic words, and they're being aggressive, and they're raising their voice and their body language and their eyes, and they're doing this with their hands, and our hands touch are a language of compassion or a language of anti-compassion kind of thing. All of that is generating like little shots, and it feels like something's actually hitting you. Mm-hmm. And it is happening. And this is not some story I'm making up. This is not a metaphor. This actually is happening. Those photons are not flowing like they should. So they hit you. So it feels like when someone's yelling at you, you feel like you have to step back. That is literally what's happening. So the suit of armor is to imagine that you are covered in a suit of armor. And as that person starts throwing their darts at you, it's bouncing off. Mm-hmm. And it is happening because as you imagine it, you create a change in your gravitational field. Mm-hmm. So instead of it being absorbed into your brain and into your mind and then in your brain, you actually deflect it. So you don't let them get to you. Gotcha. And you keep it outside so that you can analyze it and keep calm and not react. And rather
so maybe when you come into their presence, you visualize this suit of armor that
you literally visualize it. As it starts happening. You just go into, do the 10-second pause along with it to get yourself into the state where the barbs aren't hitting you too hard. And then you imagine that suit of armor. Just imagine, you could even sequentially hat, chest, breast, whatever, however you see it. Mm-hmm. Goes, and that's very calming.
I think it's also like for just bullies, but like, energy vampires, toxic people.
Yes, you know
that you come. And I think
energy vampires. I love it.
Well, through the work, through the steps, you'll probably discover. Wait a second. Why does this name keep coming up? And every time, like, I just don't feel good around this person. Exactly. Okay, but I have to be around them. Okay, I'm going to visualize the suit of armor. And just and lastly, and like, because this is a big one too, about that you can neurocycle to break bad habits and build good ones.
Yes.
So how do we use that to make that happen?
Well, there's a whole section in the book on great brain building, which is our brain, one of the strongest mental health resilience techniques is brain building, or systems is brain building. So to use the 5 steps to learn new information.
Yes.
And that seems so random, but if you're learning new information, you're actually building resilience into your brain because your brain is hungry for growth. And by learning new information, so in other words, don't just read an article, study it as though you were writing an exam on it. Select one or two things in a day and do that. So I explain that there. So that's brain building, which then flows into the concept of building a good habit. So let's say that you've got we understand breaking down a bad habit or dealing with a toxic issue. We've discussed that. But let's say that you want to get into the habit of a healthy eating plan or an exercise routine or just a daily routine or training yourself to use the 10-second pause or use those techniques, then you would use the 5 steps to do that. So you'd recognize, okay, this is the habit I want to build. So you gather awareness and then you go through the process. Why do I want to build it? Reflect. And then you're going to write that down in the metacog and you're going to recheck. So you're refining what the habit looks like and your active reach is, okay, what can I do today to start achieving
this goal? To start the good habit.
Yeah, it's a piecemeal, bit by bit building towards. So you can start the beginning, the very first gathers, I want to build this habit of, and that's going to happen by 63 days. And then each day you're going to break that habit down through the 5 steps into what's doable today to achieve that goal. And you're constantly adjusting because you might think, okay, I want to do this, but it takes longer to do. So go with the flow, go with your wisdom. The neurocycle builds and helps you access your wisdom.
Yeah, I think to clarify, it's like a lot of the stuff we've covered is healing, but the fun stuff now is like as we heal, hey, we can build stuff. Like
I would recommend building alongside healing.
Building alongside.
If you look at my last chapter of the book, there's my daily routine, and in that I build.
All right, friends, let's talk about something we all do. Snack. Trust me, I've definitely overindulged in the past, but as you know, I am focused on my health these days. And I think I found the healthier snack that you don't have to lose out on the flavor. And it's definitely become my go-to. It first came into the house because of Kevin. He was obsessed with Wonderful Pistachios. And then I got addicted. And now it's in my travel bag. I don't leave home without it. It's in our glove compartments because they don't melt. Right now, my favorite flavor is the sweet chili flavor. It feels like some of the naughtier kind of snacks I used to use where I used to lick my fingers after. Now I lick them and I feel safer. Plus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. That's crazy, guys. So if you're looking for the perfect snack, trust me and head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com to snag a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. You're going to love them.
In detoxing, using it daily, and then also building. So there's always that lovely balance of everything. And it's not that it takes me extra time because my mind's working anyway. So now I just organize my mind. So I know what I use. The more you use the neurocycle in a very defined way over the 63 days for that period of time in the morning.
So doctor, it's the same neurocycle that you're building and healing. You can do that. It's not two separate.
Steps.
And no, it's not two separate like journals, like one in the morning and one at night. It's the.
Or you can do it however you want. You can. Okay. You could do that. You could use the same. It's the same 5 steps. It was detoxing. You're taking that and building that. Building a habit. There's nothing and you're building it. So you're creating it. So it's the same growth process.
But it could be combined. Like, I'm depressed and I want to build a new habit. I can use these five steps.
Do it as two separate activities. So okay. If you're building a good habit, you know, don't mix it in. Do the detox.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Okay.
And then do the habit building. And you could, honestly, you could have two journals or you could have it side by side or you could just, however you want.
Maybe it's a morning and a night thing, you know.
That's great. I would do the detoxing in the morning if you do that and then the habit building at night because it's really good preparation for sleep.
Everyone, the book is Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess. This is such an important book that you can have. I think it's a great gift and I think it's something that you can refer to over and over again. I'm going to put this stuff into practice, Dr. Leaf, and I'm super excited to do so. I wonder, I almost think you need to train some mini Dr. Leaf coaches I think the book is great, but wouldn't it be great if you could have a coach that you could work with even monthly to help you with this?
Well, we've got that system starting. We have a certification process in development, but what we've got coming very soon is a neurocycle lab where you can come online. It's a lab. So it's a neurocycle lab where people literally through an app, through the Neurocycle app, it's going to be a feature added in where people can then send in their questions. And even if there's thousands, the way we're structuring it, you can have a live interaction. So this kind of Zoom conversation, it will be basically that, where you see me, the people are joining, and it's a lab where I walk you through these concepts, coach you through these concepts.
I mean, I'm looking forward to this very much. And Dr. Leaf, what's the name of your podcast too?
Cleaning Up Your Mental Mess. Same as the book. Same name as the book.
See how she even knows like that part of the... That's how smart you are. You'd be surprised how many people mistitle their books and make, you know, they think of 20 different things. Like, I love it. Focus right on it. Dr. Leaf, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
This has been such great help. And I'm going to stay in touch with you. And I'm going to update you on how this is working for me. Oh, Kelsey's hands up.
I just have a quick question, Dr. Leaf, because it was kind of going off. At the very end, you talked about you should detox in the morning and habit build at night. I just want to know, quickly, why you say habit build at night? Is there like actually?
Oh yeah, because it kind of would make sense to habit in the morning and detox at night. Like I've had my day of toxicity,
right?
I want to kind of flush everything.
So my antennas went up. I was like, ooh.
It's a good question. So excellent. So preparation for sleep begins when you wake up, not when you go to bed. There's a whole sequence and there's a whole neurocycle in there for sleeping and how to do AM, PM. AM lunchtime and PM preparation for sleep. And so that's one thing. So the brain building at night is such a resilient, you can do it in the morning too, but I would do it I recommend at night or early afternoon or something like that, because it's incredibly positive and it's incredibly resilience building. So it changes the networks of your brain that you're more able to deal with potentially worrisome things that have occurred during the day, which then hit you when you're sleeping. So it trains you, it puts you in a state where you become more self-regulated, much more aware of, okay, I'm in bed now, I'm worried about this and this and this, I'm going to allocate this and this time. So you kind of solve your little problems before you go to sleep or plan to solve them. And the habit building trains you in that way of thinking. So the more you use the neurocycle in these very specific ways, the more you use it all the time, because it's just a mind, it's how you train your mind. The morning for detoxing is important because you don't want to go to bed with, you want the time during the day to do the active reach. The active reach is so important in disciplining the mind not to ruminate and to go back and get stuck and give energy back to the energy you've just removed. The four, five steps have just removed energy from this thing, which you want to do. The toxic, you want to lose energy, and energy is never lost, it's always transferred. So you want to transfer the energy from there to the healthy thought. So when you detox in the morning, one of the main reasons is that you want the activity of the active reach, which helps to take the energy from the toxicity to the healthy new thought. So you're taking the water away from the weed and you're putting it onto the good plant. And then the other reason is that in the mornings, our cortisol levels do these different cycles. And in the mornings, your cortisol levels are very high, which is great in a good sense. Not very high, they're high in a good sense. That helps then for the whole physiology of the body to function, where stress is actually working for you. So you're therefore more able to deal with stuff. So you're more resilient for hard stuff, because detoxing is hard stuff. It requires quite a lot. So it's better to do it in the morning. Then you've got the rest of the day to kind of decompress.
Great question, Kelsey. Dr. Leaf, thank you again so much. Please, we'll stay in touch.
Pleasure.
And keep up the great work, really.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, Kelsey Alexandra Meyer, What say you?
She's amazing. That last little part really helped me. And so thank you for letting me jump in there. I'm like, oh, Kevin's wrapping up, but I have a question.
Good question.
That really helped me because I think that's so interesting. And that was kind of what was going through my head through a lot of it. I'm like, okay, is timing important to this? I know timing's important. So yeah, that was really helpful for me. And I think it's something, I like what you brought up too, that it's like, it doesn't need to be this perfect, like regimented five step. You're like, you did like, just try. If you're trying every day and you're doing a little bit, it's gonna help.
Yeah.
So I like that point that you brought
up. It's gonna help. And then also just in trying, you're not sitting
right
in the depression,
right,
in the trauma, in the fear, in the shame.
Right.
You're actively doing something. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do we always say? Losers love what?
Limbo.
So when you just sit in limbo and just sit in your pain, which most people do, and then what do? They take a pill, mm-hmm, or a drug, mm-hmm, or they eat food, mm-hmm, or they abuse people. You know what I mean? Right. Whatever. Rather than, or if you can white knuckle, you just sit in it and sit in pain, and that's not good either. So it's like, get out of limbo, mm-hmm, and do something. And I know meditation and all the other practices are great, but I think, you know, the fact that we can, it makes sense that we can rewire our thinking. Why wouldn't we be able to? And then how much of our own thinking based on our perceptions, which most of the time are not accurate.
Well, and I like what she was saying to making sense of the meditation, right? She was like, that's the one thing with meditation. It's like you smack this tree and all the apples fall and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But her point was like, no, okay, understand that, like, if I'm picking that apple of depression, then anxiety is most likely going to come with it. And, you know, a couple other things.
So, and then it's
like,
all based on trauma.
Exactly.
But even getting back to perceptions, how many times, Kelsey, have you... or in your life, maybe, you know, been guilty or ashamed of something, and only to find out later the person's like, wait, what? I was not even offended by that.
Yes.
You really were thinking of that the whole time?
I thought nothing of that. Or,
you know,
many times.
I mean, here's a recent one. This is going to be in professional wrestling.
Okay.
But it involves The Rock, so people will understand this. So Maria inducted this Bob Backlund into, mm-hmm, the Hall of Fame. He's a former WWE champion. And, The Rock, when he was young, reached out to him, to Bob, and said, would you train me? And Bob said no.
Wow.
Now, the reason Bob was always a man of small words, but the reason he said no is because he felt the WWE had blackballed him, and he thought if he trained The Rock was then going to also be blackballed.
Oh.
And he didn't want that for him. So now The Rock goes on his journey, becomes The Rock, becomes the biggest thing in wrestling and movies. Bob bumps into him 20 years later, maybe.
Yeah.
And says, I just want you to know I'm really sorry.
Oh, my God.
Because I didn't train you, but he goes, I just thought they would hold it against you and hold you down if you came in through me, and I didn't want that for you. And The Rock said, and you've hung on to that all these years, because Rock's amazing and Bob's amazing. But look at that false perception that then Bob was guilty and ashamed over. And so how many times do our brains, you know, we take these perceptions, mm-hmm, and we carry them, and we go, huh? Or we're mad at something someone did to us when we don't really realize that, you know, maybe it wasn't intentional. It wasn't what we thought, you know. Or how many times do we, like, I would have been so successful. This one person didn't do this, mm-hmm, and then you just go, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you break. So anyway, I love this process.
And think about it. She said we can have up to like 18,000 thoughts a day, and thoughts hold weight. So of course you're like, oh my gosh, exhausted at the end of the day. Because they hold all this weight. It's crazy. I want to know, Kev, are you clear on your after tree step, your step four? Because I think I got it.
No, but give us more clarification, because I do.
With summer upon us, friends, hair is going to be even more important. Yes, we've got humidity, we've got sun, we've got all kinds of things. And sometimes it's hard to find the right shampoo for your hair. Everyone's hair is so different, and there's no one-size-fits-all solution. That's why I love Way. They have different shampoos depending on your hair type. Want volume? Find hair and conditioner will give you that extra oomph you need. If you need some moisture and a little extra bounce, find your happy medium with medium shampoo and conditioner. And for my peeps with thick hair like me, give your hair the hydration it deserves with thick hair shampoo and conditioner. Plus, you guys already know Way carries some of my favorite hair care products I use all the time, whether it's the leave-in conditioner, which is my go-to, or the hair oil. They give my hair this hydrating refresh all summer long. Wash your way to healthier hair. See what I did there? with shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to TheWay, TheOuai.com. Use the code HEALSQUAD for 15% off your entire purchase. That's TheWay.com, TheOuai.com. Use the code HEALSQUAD. Your hair deserves it.
I think it's the hardest part of it.
I think so, too. I think it's...
It's easy to write down words that are upsetting you.
Right, but it's hard to make... just make sense of it, right? So I think that, like,
well, is it, no, that helps. Is that what I'm doing? I'm trying to make sense of those words.
Yes.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah. So it's like you're drawing this. You have this tree where these different branches and like different words and sentences and phrases are popping out of this tree, right? But then at the end, like the next step, you're looking at this tree and saying, okay, what am I making sense of here? How am I putting this into like a reference that I can then look back and be like, oh, okay, this and this and this is coming from this. This tree, this branch and this branch are connected because of this. So then you can attack those things.
Or maybe this isn't that accurate. Or you know what,
right.
I'm looking at this as the worst thing in my life, but actually all the good things have come out of this.
Right. So it's just making sense of all the random.
You know what I'd love to do, and again, we should check out the app, but I would recommend, I wish she could almost do a video.
I know.
That would show somebody, like, I wanted her to take me through, and she did a little bit, because I think, because I really think the system she developed works, and I think having the book as a constant reference is going to help us both a lot. I mean, granted, like, I skimmed through this and, you know, got the highlights, but I think, like, to sit and actually read it and let it sit with me is going to make a real big difference. And then she has some of the charts in here too as examples, which I think is going to be great.
Yeah. I loved the breathing technique she talked about as well.
Mm.
I really thought that was cool. What was the...
Think, feel
on inhalation and then choose on exhale. Exhalation. Yeah. I thought that was...
And is this after you feel traumatized or you're in an anxiety attack maybe?
And if you're in a place of where you... Yeah. How I
or
would
even
use
by the
it,
way, deep depression too, right?
Anything, yeah, where your body's feeling tight, you're like, okay.
So I know with me, I like structure, so I like the idea of doing this in the morning.
Yeah,
you know, for the healing, and then maybe somewhere in the day, the building,
right?
Do one for building, and then I think those other ones are like the little life hacks that you're gonna have, like throughout your day,
right?
If you have a trauma attack or you have a stress attack or you're just beating yourself up or just really feeling crappy, you go through it. Anyway, I thought this was magnificent. She's magnificent, and
she's awesome.
Can't wait to put this into action. And if any of you were as impacted and pick up the book, I'd love to hear that you're putting this into action and if it's
if it's
helping you. And like I really believe in this. I really do. And anyway,
are you
going to
get the app?
Kels. I'm all in. All the F in.
Well, it's funny because Kevin and I literally this morning were talking about habits and how we both have a bad habit of like when we're uncomfortable or if like we just like, and so many people I think like snack to.
I say it's 21 days to break a habit, but I think to build a habit, she's saying it's like 63.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying it's perfect timing because you and I were talking about that this morning and I'm like, let's go.
And for me, it's, you know, going to the Justin Baldoni interview about asking why.
Yeah.
It's not enough that, okay, why do I have to eat a lot?
Right.
I mean, it's not enough to say I eat a lot. I want to break that habit, but I want to ask why. And then her process does that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? These five steps in the neurocycle, ask the why.
Right.
So really, really great stuff. Okay. Well, Kels, until then, what?
Until then, Kev, we can all be nice people, make good choices, be present, and start cleaning up our mental mess.
Clean up your mental mess, and please tell a friend about our show.
Yeah.
You guys, we work so hard on this. These are hard. These interviews are not easy.
Yeah.
This is like, it is. It's like going to science class.
Truly.
Oof.
Yeah.
It's easy. Anyway, we love you guys, and we hope it's helping you as much as it is us. And as they say in Boston, we'll see you shortly.
See you shortly. Bye.
Bye, bees.
Well, that's it for today, Heal Squad. Before I let you go, I want to make sure you don't forget to take care of yourself today. I'll be making sure I'm not forgetting to get outside, do my meditations, and of course, keep myself fueled with some sweet chili Wonderful Pistachios. Wonderful Pistachios, as you know, are my go-to when hunger strikes because they're one of the highest protein nuts, providing all 9 essential amino acids, and they're great for on-the-go snacking. So when you're ready to elevate your snacking game, visit WonderfulPistachios.com to grab a bag.